This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora tātou and welcome along to Season 2, Episode 1 of Aratoi On Air. Really, really great to be back here presenting these wonderful stories of the creativity and amazing things happening within the creative communities of Otepoti Dunedin. A relatively stacked show for this, the first episode of the second season. Three interviews going to air today. One of them with Rosella Hart, who is performing their Downtime Activities D&D live game as part of the Dunedin Fringe Festival this weekend at the Gasworks Museum. That interview was brought to you by my colleague Amy Tawa. My other colleague, Nick Tipa, talked to Liz and Marion from City Planners. They're back in this year's Fringe program, riffing with Clay about the Dunedin Hospital Project and how to represent the desires of the population through clay work down there on George Street. And Nick had a wonderful chat with Liz and Marion about that project. But right now I'm joined in the studio by a wonderful group of gentlemen who are representing Turama Iti Ara. Turama Iti Ara is a Cook Islands cultural group. They're dipping their toes into the fringe pool as well, with a four-hour workshop this weekend, Saturday the 21st of March, down there at the First Church Burns Hall. And I'm told there'll be singing, dance. Will there be food as well? I'm getting head nods. Seems like a vital ingredient. Turama Iti Ara, Beats of the Pacific. It looks kind of set to be an incredible performance. If you've ever wanted to learn the basic history, knowledge and beats of Cook Island drumming, this is your chance to be fully immersed in a four-hour kind of workshop with the Turama Iti Ara drumline. Get a chance to be up close with the drums, learning the individual roles of the percussive instruments, and I see strings and stuff as well. And how all the drums talk to one another and communicate with one another to create that wonderful symphony of sound. There'll also be dancers performing as well. And as someone who's had the pleasure of witnessing the Cook Island dancing accompanied by the percussion and instruments, it's simply an incredible athletic. I'm not sure how it's quite done, and I can feel my legs withering as I think about it. So please, if you've got time on, I'm not sure if there's still spots available, gentlemen. Does someone want to come up to the microphone and have a quick chat with me? Here we go. Kia ora, introduce yourself.
Kia ora koutou katoa to, koutou kingo ko koteira. I'm part of the Aotearoa Te Ara Performing Arts team, mostly on the drumline, but also doing a little bit of emceeing as well. So, just really privileged to be here, to bring some of the boys here to be with you today and talk about what it is we do.
Excellent, thank you. And how long have you guys been kind of jamming with each other down here in Otepoti?
We've been, all of us that come from different sort of backgrounds. A few of us were brought up drumming here in Dunedin and also through the music scene as well. We've got some of the boys that came from the islands. And but also the thing with Turama within the last 2 years, it's a massive family, and it just makes things a lot easier to flow when we add that family dynamic in. And so we've been going now for probably about 2 years now.
and new people kind of coming on board as we go kind of thing? You're getting new fam whānau coming through?
Yeah, 100%. It's really, really good for us as a young as young leaders as well. Some of our shooters that come from out of town find a place of belonging as well. And it's been mean to kind of get to know a lot of the students as well as all our kids coming through as well. So, and also like a little bit of Afi as well, with Te Waka, Cook Islands, who are our community group here as well. So a lot of mention to our Te Waka team as well as to Rama Te Ara.
Shout outs. And it's wonderful to see you more kind of present in the community and adding a beautiful kind of element, new element to the community in Otipote. This will be your first kind of foray into Fringe Festival stuff. Who made the call, or why was the call made to kind of jump into that program? What's the thinking there?
So we're really, really lucky to have my sister who works does a lot of hard work in the background to get us a lot of funding apps and the way that Fridge presents itself, it's a good way for us to present our culture and share it with a lot of people and those who haven't experienced the Cook Islands culture. So last week, I wasn't there, but the opening of Fridge Festival was awesome. I got a lot of FOMO not being able to perform, but, you know, it was just mean to be able to have our culture up there with a lot of other creative minds. And
yeah.
And like, and you see the beautiful art and the colourfulness of the whole show was amazing. So just being able to share our culture and letting people know that there are Cook Islanders here in Dunedin, but like not also like Cook Islanders, but also as Pacifica as well. It's a huge privilege to be able to be part of our Fringe Festival.
Yeah, and certainly kind of emphasises that kaupapa of inclusion and diversity. Which I think is really special and really wonderful. Well, thank you all, gentlemen, for coming through today and taking time out of your busy days to join me on the show. I'm going to invite you to play, give the audience a little bit of a taster as to what they can expect this Saturday. So if you don't mind, I'll swing some mics around and let you guys rip into a bit of a song. What will we be performing today?
Today we're going to be performing our... So part of the Otipotiho project, we're able to have our piece on there as well. So we're going to be playing a little bit of that. And maybe we might be, if we got time, we might be able to take people to the northern group of the Cook Islands as well with our Awe Awe beat as well. So thank you, everybody, for listening. It's a privilege to be here again. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. I'll let you get stuck into it. Kia ora. That was Tū Rama Iti Ara, the Otiputi. What was the name of the song? Otiputi.
Etu Te Ao Mapu.
Etu
Te Ao Mapu.
Te Ao Mapu.
Like, yeah. So Mapu is the Cook Island word, like replacement for the Maori is like rangatahi. So yeah. So it's the standing up of our youth, but also like they're taking over the next generation. So it's kind of like.
Tautoko, incredible. Thank you all so much for your time today. You're tuned to Aratoi on Air on Otago Access Radio. Next piece we'll play out will be that interview with Liz and Marion from City Planners. Here it is.
Today I am very lucky to have with me two of Dunedin's foremost consultancy group, the City Planners, Marion Familton and Liz Rowe. Kia ora, it's both of you.
Kia ora, no.
Marion, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Well, I am a ceramic artist. I do wheel work and I also like making sculptures and I'm part of the City Planners group. I'm kind of the jack of all trades, so that's me.
Liz.
Hi, I'm Liz Rowe. Like Marion, I'm a ceramic artist and I've been doing it for a number of years. I have a practice where I do wheel work. I'm also interested in sculptural bits and pieces, but like Marion, we enjoy projects where we work with people. So the City Planners, as he introduced us, a consultancy whereby our aim is to involve the people in Dunedin and helping investigate the future of the hospital.
Yeah, we started in 2022 setting up the first City Planners group. That was myself, Liz, Bronwyn Gale, Lizzie Brown, Eva Ding and Luke Unhold. And we thought it would be really fun coming out of the COVID era. It'd be really nice to do something for Dunedin. It'd be really nice to do something for the Fringe Festival. It was called the City Rebuild in Clay. We asked people, what's your vision for Dunedin? What would you like to see in your city? How would you like to make it better? And we had, you know, the public walking in off the street to a fantastic site in George Street that was organised by Dunedin Dream Brokerage.
Mm.
And they came in and just did these wonderful clay sculptures. And we were in that space for 5 days. That was
That's
great.
Amazing. Mm. Yeah, you were the recipient of the Warwick Broadhead
yes.
Award that year, weren't you? Yeah.
We invite people to come in and make their suggestions, write down their ideas about what they'd like to see. For instance, with the hospital, what ideas they've got for these empty wards.
It's a very simple idea. It's hard to explain to people what we're actually doing. I had a practice last night with a craft group. You know, I asked for ideas, you know, around the table, and they looked a bit stunned to begin with, going, oh, I don't know. But they came up with really wonderful ideas. One of the ladies said, when my son had chemotherapy and I was with him in hospital, when his partner came in to be with him, I had to go somewhere and I'd really like a quiet room. And I said, oh, of course you would. You know, you really need to decompress. Things are really intense. And I think that's the thing about health and well-being. It's important and it'll bring up a lot of emotions for people. Mm-hmm. Like we're also doing madcap stuff because somebody else said, I want a bagpipe practice room. I want a holodeck. I want a herborium. Like we just had ridiculous ideas. It can be all things for all people.
Mm. Plus I think clay is a really friendly medium. You know, you can do anything. Anyone can pick up a piece of clay and make something. It mightn't be good. They mightn't be happy with it.
Mm.
But, you know, it's very doable. It's not like picking up a paintbrush and thinking, oh, my God, I have to make a painting out of this. It's an easy material for this kind of project. If people can't get the time, if they're not in Dunedin or haven't got the time to pop into the project itself, they can message us and say we'd like you to make an avatar on our behalf. So we're very happy to do that. And
yeah, it's kind of a one for one. So sponsor an avatar / figurine.
It's a fun project. It's a Dunedin Fringe project, but it does have an underpinning of something serious. The hospital project is a controversial subject in Dunedin. This is a little bit provocative.
It starts on Tuesday the 17th at 10 a.m. The doors will be opening.
And it runs through till 4:30 each day, is that right?
4:30, that's right. Yep. And it's 343 George Street. So we're really, really grateful to Dunedin Dream Brokerage. We've been working with Jess Coville and she's been great.
Also, we're really grateful for the landlord. We're not sure who it is.
No.
Because Dunedin Dream Brokerage do that. But thank you so much.
We're also really grateful to the DCC. They've been yes, really wonderful.
The arts, we've had arts funding from the DCC.
And so we're grateful for that. It's been great.
Jess at Dunedin Dream Brokerage and Amy at the council, they've been so tolerant.
And the Fringe.
The Fringe team are so wonderful.
They are. They're so good.
Yeah. Is there a favourite idea that emerged in the last iteration of the City Planners? Do you each have one that really sticks in your mind as a favourite offering from the community or a favourite piece that emerged from that?
I have to say I loved the city pizza oven. There was a little stove oven that was built with it had little couches around it. So possibly in the octagon, you know, you would sit around, you'd come in with your pizza dough and your fillings and things and you'd just sit around and join other people and make pizzas to eat.
There was also a sponge garden. Let's turn bits of South Dunedin, let's put lots of trees in bits of it. That was sounded really fun.
Lots of planting.
Yeah, people love nature. Mm. Children like nature and sugar. They wanted Yeah, I can remember Eva doing, sort of going, okay, a lolly tree, we're going to make this. And she made this absolutely exquisite lolly tree. It was really, really fun. Because sometimes people don't want to make it, and we'll make it on your behalf. But you can sit there and you can make your own thing. Don't you worry.
Have there been any aspects of this work, particularly from the last iteration, that have folded back into or influenced your personal practices?
Using clay, recycled clay to some extent.
Using local clay has been really important, or really enjoying working with the community. You have your own work, but you're often very solitary as a potter. You're working in your shed. It's not usually very warm, so you have hotties or the heater on and you're by yourself. So I think for me, doing these projects is kind of the outward-facing aspect of it really, really appeals. I find it really healthy.
Plus, to add to that, working with the group, like there's
it's
four
fun.
Of us. Yeah. We have also invited all the relevant politicians. I have to say only two have indicated they might be able to come along.
Yeah. They're often
the Minister
busy
of Health, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be available. So.
No. Yeah, we'll see who comes along. Like, they are honestly all welcome.
One more question, just to wrap us up. Where do you have plans, ideas, or inklings of ideas where maybe the City Planners will be headed next?
At this stage, I'd have to say no. We've been too busy kind of chasing our tails, getting
But don't you worry. We will be talking about we'll be doing a big mop up afterwards and thinking about, you know, what we do next. Or, you know, we will seriously be going there. Don't you worry.
Kia ora. That was Nick Tepper talking to Liz and Marion from City Planners. It's a little interactive clay activity happening down at 343 George Street next to Modax. There where you can go and play with some uku, some clay, and create your thoughts on the Dunedin Hospital build with clay. Sounds good to me. The next piece comes from my colleague Amy Tawa, who sat down with Rosella Hart, who's presenting Downtime Activities D&D live game. It's Dunedin's very first live game, Dungeons and Dragons, a live game pilot season. It's happening down at Gasworks this Saturday at 6 p.m. Takes a couple of hours. There'll be dungeon masters, and I'm told there's a live bard as well. And you know, you really do need that bardic music when you are absorbing that dungeons and those dragons. So here's Amy talking to Rosella Hart about D&D Live Game, a project which was auspiced by Stage South and brought to you with funding from the Professional Theatre Fund.
Rosella Hart is a theatre producer, performer and publicist for a very special Dunedin Fringe Festival performance this year. A creative chameleon always looking to develop new ways of storytelling, Rosella brings Downtime Activities D&D live game to the Gasworks Museum in South Dunedin. Three shows over the course of this year's Fringe Festival, a pilot of what will become a more regular monthly program here in Otiputi. No mai, haere mai, welcome Rosella, and thank you for coming to Kōrero on Aratoianea.
Kia ora Amy, it's nice to see you.
Tell us in a nutshell, what is this show?
This is a live D&D game. So you are seeing, if you come to the show, you are seeing a real D&D game. There's no scripting, there's basically no planning from the player's point of view. the DM, the Dungeon Master, has prepared like a world and a kind of bunch of story hooks that we can grab onto, but it's made in front of you, and we use dice as a way to introduce chaos and random decision making, and that will determine some of the stuff that happens. We are playing a high stakes game, meaning some of the characters can die during the course of the game.
Yeah.
So it's a realistic version of what this game actually is.
What inspired the show?
I've been playing D&D for about 7 years and I love it. And basically it's just come from love of the game. I wouldn't have got around to doing all of the paperwork and all of the back end of producing for something if I didn't really care about it myself and want to do more of it. But there's also a wider political and social value of this, which I think has been really underrated. This kind of tabletop roleplay system that is used, which Dungeons & Dragons is one of the games that comes out of this sort of system, and it's bubbled away under the surface, and it's been really popular amongst gamers for a long time. Not just that, but lots of other things like Pathfinder and a bunch of other systems which are really similar. Mm. And it has inexplicably to me sort of been sidelined by the arts community somewhat.
What inspired this show?
Probably those experiences that I've had. And also, you know, shout out, there's some big dudes out there in the world who have taken this and kind of turned it into, I don't want to use the word industry, but I guess they've really busted through into the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So just in the last kind of 5 years, the game has kind of gone from being still a relatively underground-ish thing.
Yeah.
Although when I say that, there's something like 30 million people playing on a monthly basis in America alone. Like, it's not exactly a small thing, right?
Yeah.
It's just that it's been sort of in a bubble of its own.
Yeah.
But now they're filling out stadiums. Like, the biggest stadiums in the world are being filled out by people playing D&D to audiences watching D&D. So it's kind of I feel like it's an emerging art form, and that at this point in society and history, there's a lot of stuff is changing really rapidly, and it's a way that people can lean in on being human, you know, like that human connection. It's in person, and it's about that kind of creative moment between people. But there's also these sort of opportunities for technology and the kind of Venn diagram between, I see sort of a Venn diagram between the tabletop roleplay games and gamers who do those, the performing arts community and people like me who kind of straddle both things, and maybe the digital space, the digital gaming space. There's like a third space in the middle that I really do think there's going to be an emerging art form in the next 10 years. Yeah, so I just sort of feel like it was a way to do something that was relatively low production values required because it's theatre of the mind.
Mm.
So I don't need to put a set in place. We can describe what we see in our heads and then you see it too. And, you know, we can do that without needing $50,000 to make a set, you know. And in some ways it's better because it's kind of higher order creativity because everyone is actually using their imagination instead of having it plonked in front of them.
Mm.
Because we've got screens for that. A theatre can't compete with that. You know, we can't compete with a Netflix TV show that's got $500 million, you know.
Yeah.
But you can imagine that in your head and so can I. So I think it's like it's also survival in terms of as a producer. What can I do that I can actually maybe make it work and I can build, I can reach out to the community that I believe is out there. Hello. You know, I think they're out there and I think people will be keen for this and it's sort of like reaching out into the dark and seeing if somebody grabs your hand as a producer. Like, is this something people are into? But I feel like Dunedin does tend to have a few silos of community stuff where there's kind of bubbles of people doing their thing. And of course, because TTRPGs, D&D does tend to happen in people's houses.
Yeah.
There is literally no way to know how many people are playing in Dunedin. Nobody knows that. I'd be really interested to find that out, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm really interested to engage with some way of kind of opening up that box of like sort of saying, hey, this is what people are doing. And this is actually a really sort of incredibly creative and artistic thing to do with your time.
Mm.
And like the dungeon masters out there who make these games for people, sometimes they last for years and years. And the whole thing is original storytelling and content. And there's maps made and there's models made and there's painting done of the models. And it's a real sort of 360 degree art form.
Wow.
Which has just sort of been put over there outside of the arts. And I guess I've reached a point now where I just don't care what anyone thinks about anything, and I feel like I'm going to go, actually, this is a really sophisticated art form and it deserves some elevation in people's minds, you know? Like it deserves the money that it deserves because it's actually a really accessible and also kind of infinite world of creative stuff, you know?
Thank you very much for your time, Rosella. It was a joy to speak to you, and I look forward to seeing your final show this Saturday. Whānau, you will find Rosella's show on the Dunedin Fringe Festival website. Get your tickets if there's any left. Koha payment for this Saturday, March 21st at 6 p.m. And keep an eye out for those upcoming monthly D&D performances that will be rolling out after Fringe is finished.
Yeah, thanks, Rosella. Last Sunday of the month, we'll be going at Gaze Weeks Museum, 6 p.m. every last Sunday of the month for at least 4 or 5 months. We're going to see how we go, and if we get enough people along, then we'll find a way to make it keep going. Yeah,
awesome. Thanks so much, Rosella.
Thank you.
Doesn't that sound incredible? D&D live gaming as part of the Fringe Festival. That was Amy talking to Rosella Hart about what I think will be a revolution and spectating dungeon masters and bards and all of that kind of stuff wrapped up in Dungeons and Dragons. Sounds great to me. And thank you to Liz and Marion from City Planets discussing their Dunedin Hospital project, clay building kind of clay making project. And thank you to Turama Itiara for popping by and waking up the building with some beautiful Cook Islands drumming. That was a pleasure to soak up. You've been tuned to Aratui On Air. We'll be back next fortnight. I've been your host, Sean Norling. Thanks for tuning in. Ka kite.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.